Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete.
And today we're going to talk about some things in the CCA manual for NC2A umpires, Section 4, before the game. Specifically, we want to spend some time about pregame topics with partners. Everybody should have a pregame routine. Crew chiefs need to get their crew together before the game and review some things in the CCA manual. Gives us some really good suggestions about some of those things to check in on. Depending on what assigners you work for, I found that they have their own requirements for contacting the schools, you know, how far in advance. You definitely want to do some investigating if you've never been at the school before. You know, do they have a place to change? Do they have, you know, that kind of thing. But you need to introduce yourself to the hosting coach and the rest of your crew and that kind of thing. We're not going to address that here today. Again, a lot of that comes from your assigner. They have their own expectations, and you want to make sure that you're following through on those expectations. So game day, things here. The crew should arrive at a prearranged site at least 1 hour before game time. And the second one, and this one's really important to Victor, one of my assigners, dress in professional attire when traveling to the game, between games, and when in a softball environment.
So talk to me about that. What does professional attire mean? So it says when traveling to the game, so you're not wearing your uniform.
Right.
Right. So does that mean, I mean, to me, professional, I think business professional. So I'm thinking shirt and tie. So I assume it does not mean the umpires are showing up in a shirt and tie, or does it?
Right. No, Victor. So again, I think it might depend, you mm-hmm. know, on the assigner. So as a coach, I can tell you that I've been to some of my games and I've seen the umpires walk up wearing shorts with their tall, what do you call
the side socks?
Compression socks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're getting ready to get, you know, and maybe a t-shirt that says softball on it or something like that. I've seen that.
Yeah.
But Victor is very business casual. You show up business casual to meet the coach and, you know, get ready and find, and then go get dressed. So business casual for, at least for Victor.
Okay. So I mean, it's like then Dockers in a button down or Dockers in a golf shirt. That's what
yeah.
you're wearing.
So actually, I've recently found some, you might see a travel pants. You'll see them advertised on Facebook or whatever. So they're mm-hmm. they're stretchy, but they've got belt loops, you know.
Yeah.
And so they're a little sporty, business casual type things. I can wear them to a business meeting. So I wear those. They're very comfortable. And then just a collared shirt, you know, like a golf shirt or something. Okay. So that's what I wear. So be in that professional attire in a softball environment. That's the other thing. If you're doing a series and you're just walking, you know, I remember like when I was out in Oklahoma and doing the Alliance stuff, still you could look around and you could see umpires in white t-shirts and, you know, compression socks. And it's like, ooh, maybe put on something, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to be walking around, you know, the stadium, you know, the Mecca stadium, mm-hmm. you know, maybe put on something here. And I know that, you know, Linda has told us for years, you know, don't be coming to the field to watch a game in your uniform or something, you know. So just be cognizant of, you know, look right, if you will, when you're going to be around softball. So the next point on game day is the crew chief reports to the on-site administrator and the crew turns off their cell phones. So that's an important one. We don't want cell phones ringing anywhere. Crew checks the field and determines the ground rules. The first game plate umpire leads the pregame discussion with partners. Okay, with partners. Crew arrives at the field fully dressed approximately 20 minutes before game time. You got to do the bat inspection and confirm the game balls and rotation method. So remember this year, 2024 season, game balls, they did change the compression requirement. Yes. However, there are supply chain issues, and so we're not going to be suspending games because they have the wrong balls.
Yep.
So we're going to do that. All right. And then the whole reason really for this episode, listeners, is that I wanted to kind of get to pregame topics with partners. The NFHS manual has a list of things to cover or suggestions that you should cover. The CCA manual is a much larger suggested list. And so I think it's important for us to remember these and talk about them with our crew. So what's the first one there under pregame topics with partners, Pete?
Yeah, so that's the new rules and rules interpretations. So we've done a series. We talked a couple episodes of some of the changes in NC2A softball. So you want to go over those and make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yep. So important ones for 2024, leaping, changes to the obstruction rule. For sure, the timing, you know, how we're gonna deal with timing, and you know, who's, if you're in a three umpire, you know, make sure that you three for game one has the timer if you don't have clocks up on the wall, you know, that are publicly available. And then the next one is new mechanics and points of emphasis. So this is an important one as well. There are some new mechanics this year. The timing mechanics are new. There's a assist on a touched fly ball mechanic this year. I'm not even sure, Pete, do you know about that one?
No.
Let's grab the book real quick and talk about that. It's a really cool mechanic. So on page 10 of the CCA manual, it's called touch signal. And one of the hardest things for a plate umpire to see is if a defender touches a batted ball down the line. This new mechanic is intended to provide the plate umpire with more information to determine if the ball is fair or foul. So when a base umpire is on the line and is 100% certain that the defender touched the batted ball, they will signal touch to the plate umpire. Very important here, though. The determination of fair foul will still belong to the plate umpire. So to signal a touch, the umpire will bring the left hand in front of their body, shoulder height or higher, with the palm or back of the hand facing you. With an upward motion, brush your fingers of that hand with the fingers of the right hand several times so that the plate umpire can see
you. I remember. We did talk about this because you said it's like the volleyball signal for
touch.
Yep,
that's right. We did. Yep, you're right. So yeah, that's a good one and a good one to be reminded of. You know, I'm not sure everybody gets these, you know, sees all of these changes. So the next mechanic that changed is the counter-rotated leaving early responsibility. So the SUP has determined that in a counter-rotated position, in all runner configurations, you three will be responsible for all runner leaving early calls at first and third base. So you can see through first and third. And so U3 has a better look and to be able to determine those violations. So these are really good things
to cover.
That's
a good one to make sure everyone's on the same page. Because if I'm U1 and I'm not looking at that right now, because that's not my responsibility anymore, but U3 doesn't know it's his or her responsibility. Oops.
Yep. And then the one I'm really working hard on this year is the idea of signaling fair or foul without my, or signaling fair ball without my mask in my hand. Because I'm just so accustomed to that left hand has the mask. And, you know, if I'm down the first base line, I want to be pointing into the infield. And I do that with my mask in my hand just because mask goes in your left hand. Always has, but doesn't always stay there anymore. So those new mechanics and points of emphasis, certainly important things to talk about. What's the third one, Pete?
Unusual situations and mechanics. So this is a time, where we want to talk about things that might be out of the ordinary. Some things maybe. This is a part where someone with experience usually will say some things like, hey, here's some weird things that might happen to know of. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know until it happens. But
yeah, for sure.
This is a good time for people to say, okay, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I've been a part of. Here's what I want us to do in that case.
Yep. And I think it's important to, I would like to rely on or ask our experienced umpires, especially if you're working a three-person crew and you're an experienced umpire, so you're the crew chief, because usually the crew chief does, you know, game one behind the plate. So you're running this meeting. I would ask you to make sure that if you have some newer three-person NC2A umpires out there, to kind of point out some of the things that are very different in the three-person mechanics. One that comes to mind very quickly early in the manual is nobody on base and U1 chases a fly ball and the ball's not caught. Who's got to play at one? Plate umpire. Plate umpire has to play at one. If you've got a USA three-person umpire in U3, they're going to be beating feet across the field to try to get to first base to make that call. It's not their call in NC2A. That's the plate umpire's call. And so I would point those big differences in USA mechanics and NC2A mechanics. I'd point those out in the pregame too. Or I'm asking our experienced umpires to point those out to the less experienced ones. Because there are some differences. So run rule. We'll talk about the run rule. 10 after 5.
Hey everybody, this is Pete coming to you from the editing booth. And David just misspoke here and said that there is a rule of 10 runs after 5. For this NCAA contest, but that is actually 8 runs after 5. This is found in Rule 6.14, called the 8-run rule, which says a regulation 8-run rule game shall be declared by the plate umpire if one team is ahead by 8 or more runs after 5 or more equal innings. Complete innings must be played unless the home team reaches the 8-run lead while at bat in the last inning. So just wanted to get that corrected. I want to get that sorted out since it was caught before the episode was released. I wanted to make sure that we were as correct as possible. Back to the episode.
Make sure that we know that. Tiebreaker, how does that work? You know, when do we get the ITB? Halted game situations, drop dead time if we have one. So we have the ability at coach's agreement to have to set a drop dead for air travel, I believe, is the rule. So if you're bus travel, you don't get to do that. But if you're air travel, you can have a drop dead. Weather conditions, you know, hey guys, it's supposed to be stormy today. Make sure everybody's watching the thing. Fly ball chasing, super important one. And I want to talk a little bit about this one as well. In just watching some of the really good ball that we've had so far this spring and the fantastic crews that are working some of these tournaments and seeing fly ball coverage and whether umpires are going out on fly balls or not. You know, I made some observations and I called my signer and said, hey, watch, I'm watching this thing. What's going on here? You know, so there's how much do you want me chasing? How much do you want me reading for trouble plays? You know, that kind of thing. Are we going to chase every fly ball, you know, when it's in our fly ball coverage area, or are we going to read the play and see, you know, if it's going to be a trouble ball and I need to chase? Would you rather me staying in more, you know, or going out on every fly ball? You know, if I'm new one, I kind of want to know what my crew wants me to do there. That's a tougher one, you know, and a two-person crew, you know, do you want me, if I'm on the line, nobody on base, do you want me chasing fly balls that are close to the foul line? Or do you want to just take those and I'll stay out of the way? That kind of thing. So we talk about those. Fair foul coverage. This one's important for, you know, whether you chase or not, that kind of thing. What's some other ones we have here, Pete?
Yeah, lead off responsibilities, tag up responsibilities, check swings in between play coverage.
Yeah. So check swings, an interesting one for NC2A stuff in the CCA manual as well. It's always a umpire on the line. Let's say for a moment we've got U3 is rotated over to second base. And so we've got U1 on the line, U3 is at second, and we have a check swing on a left-handed batter. Typically, you would go to the umpire that is leftist, right? Yeah. So, however, since U3 is actually on the field, the actual check swing appeal goes to U1. So it's always the umpire that's on the line. Between play coverage, where you're going to be standing, who's responsible for what, what's going on. And there's several more. So this is a much, much bigger list than we have in the NFHS. Fairly common situations, obstruction in the mechanics for those. I think probably the thing I would want to talk about most about regarding obstruction is, first of all, we would have talked about it in the new rules piece a little bit earlier. And then also just reminding everyone when the play is done. So obstruction being a delayed dead ball, it continues until play stops or the obstructed runner is called out. If they're not over there messing with the obstructed runner, they're still making plays, back picking people. They're still, you know, we're still playing ball. However, if the obstructed runner ends up being called out, then the play is dead, killed immediately. And then where do the runners go? This is one of the few times. This one's putting Pete on the spot here. I won't do that. So this is one of the few times where they halfway or not comes into play. So as a NC2A umpire, you got to be really careful to make sure that when you have an obstruction play and somebody, like maybe they're stuck in the middle now of a rundown situation type thing, you better be looking at where those other runners are, because at the time that obstructed runner gets put out or the time the play is over and you kill it, dead ball, because now, you know, I had a delayed dead ball and now I've got reason to kill it. So now I've got dead ball. Where were those runners? And if they were halfway to the next bag, they get it. If they weren't, back they go. That was an interesting one for me too. Illegal pitches, hit by a pitch and hit by a batted ball. Talk about those. Just reviewing those. There's nothing crazy about those. Illegal pitches will be probably fewer this year, yeah, you know, because of the leaping piece. So now we're talking about violations of the hands, violations of
it's the sign taking stuff.
Yeah, sign taking. We got to be careful with that one this year too. So that happened early in the season, maybe some scrimmages. I recall somebody talking about, you know, looking at the wristband system to catch, because they were doing the electronic one-way system, and looking at that was not on the pitcher's plate and was called illegal because that rule hadn't changed. We've since gotten a clarification on that they can look at that, because a lot of times it's a defensive play, also not a pitch call.
Right? Yeah.
So
you wouldn't know.
Yeah, you don't know the answer to that one. What's next here, Pete?
So, yeah, you want to talk about any pertinent history with crew members and teams. So, you know, we've talked about this before in other areas. You know, if you know for a fact that, hey, this coach is a hothead for this, or these two teams have beef, last time they were out, there was a there's a scuffle, or hey, this game is for the championship, you know, expect runs to be at a premium, you know, whatever it is, anything, any kind of scouting you have or intelligence you have, you want to share that.
Yep. Love it. Going for help, providing additional information to the calling umpire, how, when, and when's it required. This is a very important one. I'll tell a bad story here to protect the innocent. I won't even tell you where we were, but we were at playing a game in a three umpire system. We were the defense and were able to catch a fly ball, make a fantastic throw to the plate on a runner tagging up from third, and the catcher had set up perfectly in front of the plate where they're supposed to, received the ball, dove to her left, tagged the runner coming from third for the last out of the inning, got the girls coming off the field, and here comes U1 down to talk to the plate umpire, and the plate umpire turns and calls obstruction on the catcher, and therefore the runner scored. The inning's not over. And yes, I said that exactly how it happened. U1 came down and convinced the plate umpire that there had been obstruction at the plate, and he reversed his call.
Wow.
And made the runner safe. The assistant coach for the offensive team was not very happy. That was me. I was very, very upset. So the go for help, providing additional information, and the calling umpire how, when, and when required, not then. That was not handled correctly. Umpire huddles, when do we do them and how to conduct them? Remember that if you're in a three-person crew and you get the crew together, it's the whole crew together. You all three talk about it at the same time. We don't want to have the same conversation twice. Well, let me tell you what happened, you know, that kind of thing. Umpire verbal and nonverbal communication. You know, number of outs is a thing we do in the NC2A mechanic. Make sure that everybody knows how many outs there are. When we have a timing play, you know, we're gonna indicate that as well. So that kind of stuff happens. Confrontations and the role of the non-involved umpires. This is a really important one. Hopefully, our listeners haven't had to deal with this very often. I know that I haven't had to deal with it very often, thank goodness. Pete, you haven't been involved in a lot of ejections and whatnot. But when there's confrontation, so let's assume for a moment that I'm the plate umpire and, you know, they got really mad about something. A coach got really mad about something. And, we saw this not too long ago when it was a problem with too much rain, right? You remember that? So it was raining and pitchers couldn't hold onto the ball. And then a pass ball makes a run score. The ball game's tied. Here comes the assistant coach out of the dugout to yell at the umpire. Well, we know this year that's an immediate ejection.
Yeah, right? Goodbye.
Yeah, you're done. And so she was booted immediately and she wasn't going anywhere. So, but the plate umpire booted her. And so what needs to happen? U1, U3 need to come in and get between that ejected coach. And, you know, it's now their job to escort them off, you know, and away from the plate umpire. The plate umpire's job is to remove themselves from that situation and get the help from their helpers. So ejections. There was one thing here, too, we missed about warnings and required and when to record them, that kind of thing. So I know for Victor, my signer, anytime you've got something like that, he wants a text right away, and then you do have some paperwork that you need to file with the NC2A. Hopefully I don't have to do that at all this year. I've got one team I'm a little bit concerned about. I've had them before. And then exiting the field, you know, how are we going to get out of here? You know, when it's done, we'll talk about that. So that's the pregame stuff with, you know, your crew. So that's the lengthy little episode, and we didn't even talk with the content. So, you know, it should be a very decent, lengthy meeting. Just make sure that you cover all the things that need to be covered. Make sure that your crew is on the same page. So crewness is a super important thing when calling these games for these girls. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right. And that's where we'll stop. So thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks. Until next time.